I want to look a little bit at the book of Jonah tonight. And if you don't know where it is, it's right between Obadiah and Micah. Jonah takes two whole pages. Obadiah less than two, so you can find it there. The book of Jonah, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, and the third chapter, verses 1 through 5. In verse 10, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And then looking into the third chapter, verse 1 through 5. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go all through it. Jonah started into the city, going a day's journey, and he proclaimed 40 more days, then Nineveh will be destroyed. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And later, over in the third chapter, we read verse 10, if I can find it. Well, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion on them, and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. What do you know about Jonah? If you ask the average person on the street, what do you know about Jonah? If they knew anything, I suspect they would say he was the one who was swallowed up by a whale. But if you read the book of Jonah, you find that it says he was swallowed not by a whale, but by a big fish. But this account covers only 3 verses in the book. Jonah is much more than a big fish story. Jonah has the most caring picture of God to be found in the Old Testament. You see, what is the important question is not do you believe in God, but in what kind of a God do you believe? Tonight I want us to look at God as He's pictured in Jonah. In this often misunderstood book, we have what I would call the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Here we see God's love as nowhere else in the Old Testament. Here we also have the greatest missionary story in the Old Testament. And then let's look at what we see in Jonah about God. He first shows us a picture of inescapable God. Jonah had a limited view of God. He thought that God was confined to Palestine and the people there. He was sure that he could flee from the presence of God. And he believed that if he could just get away from his homeland and go over to Tarshish, which is modern-day Spain, that he would be away from and out of the control of God. What Jonah found out was that he could not escape from God, that the God of his homeland was the universal God of all the world. But the idea of getting away from God appears again and again in the Bible and in modern day life. The first picture we have of it is of Adam and Eve. After they'd sinned, they tried to hide from God in the trees of the garden. They thought they could escape God by hiding. It occurred to me this afternoon that this might be the first example of game hide-and-seek that you ever saw. But these two thought they could hide from God in the trees of the garden. But the psalmist knew better. In the 139th psalm, we have a picture of the psalmist acknowledging that he could not escape from God. He said in the 139th psalm, verses 7 through 12, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be as light to you, be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to you." He has a picture here of heaven and hell, the sea, darkness, anything and everything. Nothing can hide us from God. 1 Samuel 16:7, we find that while man looks on the outward appearance of others, God looks at the heart. We judge people too often by just how they look, but God looks deeper than that. Even the thoughts and desires of our hearts are not hidden from God. And Jesus warns in Luke 12:2, "There is nothing hid that shall not be known. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. What you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light." Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it's appointed that a man wants to die, but after this is judgment. God is the inescapable one. The inescapable one. But still today, people seem to think that when they get away from home or get away from the parents, children, that they will get away from God. A lot of young people go off to college or go into the service, and they think now they're away from their parents, they're away from home, and surely they're away from God, and they can do whatever they like. But Jonah tells us that regardless of where we are, God knows and sees and hears. In Hebrews 4:12, we read that God knows not only where we are, but he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Some of us think sometimes we can ignore God by just getting all wrapped up in ourselves, our own goals and desires and needs. They seem to have no thought of loving their neighbor or training their children up for God. The story was told, came out of the Korean conflict. Young man on the battlefield there in Korea expecting death at any moment, seeing his buddies dying around him. He found out he wasn't prepared to die. He did not know God and did not know how to pray. He survived the battle, and after it was over, he wrote his mother. "Mother, why in all the years I was growing up, and you were so concerned that I have the best of everything, that I have good clothes, food, and a good education, why didn't you see that I knew God? And how to pray and talk to God? Why? Why didn't you carry me to Sunday school and church so that I could have learned of God?" Well, we may ignore God for a while, but he will be heard and he will be accounted to. Some of us that are active in the church sort of seem to think that we can leave God at the church, you know. We go to church on Sunday, but we're all right by Monday. You know, it's just a little habit we've acquired. We hear things in church, and we know the Bible tells us to love our neighbors ourselves, but that's all right as long as I can choose my neighbors. And we forget that Jesus reminds us in the parable of the Good Samaritan that any person that's in need that we can help becomes our neighbor. And someone says, "Yeah, I've read the Bible, and I know it says if a man loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen? How can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also." And we say, "All right, I love my brothers. Just let me choose my brothers. Don't try to tell me who my brothers are." But then we read in Galatians 3:26, "You are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus." You cannot ignore God. You cannot leave him at church or in the Bible. You cannot get away from God. He is the inescapable one. Sooner or later, we have to deal with God. This is the first thing I find in Jonah about God. He's the inescapable one. But also in Jonah we find that he's the God of all people. Jonah, as a Jew of his day, represented the narrow bigotry and prejudice of his people. They were sure that they were God's chosen people, and that they were the only objects of God's divine favor and care. They were the superior people. They were God's people. Oh, they could respect and care for individual Gentiles on occasion. Interestingly enough, in the first part of Jonah, he was willing to die to save the lives of these heathen sailors with whom he sailed. It's interesting that while the sailors were all crying out to their God, Jonah was asleep. But when they woke him up and he realized what was taking place and it was his fault, he asked him to throw him into the sea. He didn't want their lives to be given up for his. But to think that God could care for all people as much as he did for the Jewish people was something totally foreign for Jonah. Something almost impossible for him to grasp, to believe. But we find that God did care for Nineveh, that great and wicked city. And even though they were the enemies of Israel, God sent Jonah not just once when he tried to flee from him, but after his encounter with the big fish, God sent him a second time, said a second time, go to Nineveh and preach there. In the Bible, we find the need of repentance. And we find that God is the God of all people. Don't see this nearly as much in the Old Testament as we do in the New. But in Amos is preaching to the people and he starts out as far away from them as they can imagine. And he comes step by step closer and closer to Israel. He starts out saying that Damascus, then Gezer, and Tyre, and Edom, and Ammon, and Moab, as well as Judah and Israel, come under the control and judgment of God. You know, you can almost hear the people that were listening to Amos when he starts out saying, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, God, and then he goes on, every one of these places he comes, and they're amen, and they want him to be destroyed. But he comes right on up to their back door and says, for three transgressions of Judah, for three transgressions of Israel. They're all under control of God. Psalm 24, we read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. Not just a few people, but everybody. When we come to the New Testament, we find numerous cases showing that God is the God of all people. The most familiar Bible verse, I suppose, is John 3:16. And we read, therefore, God so loved the world. Not just Americans, not just Asians, not just Europeans, not just this race or that. God so loved the world. He's the God of all people. Of all people. Luke 13:29, Jesus said, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. People will be coming from everywhere to be a part of the kingdom. In Philippians 2:10 and 11, we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 10:34-35 tells us that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Today we need to remember that God is the God of all people. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord and there's none else. There is no God beside me. He is the God of all and loves all. As we used to sing in the Sunday school and the vacation Bible school, God loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they all are precious in his sight. God cares for all people. Finally, we see in Jonah that not only is God inescapable and the God of all people, but he's also a God of compassion. A God of compassion. God had said that the people of Nineveh were to be destroyed because of their wickedness. But when they repented at the preaching of Jonah, God saw they'd turned from their evil way. He had compassion on them and spared their lives. But Jonah, he didn't want this. He didn't want this. He sat out on the mountainside waiting for God to destroy all these people, waiting to see what was going to happen. He was anxious to see all of these people of Nineveh destroyed. And he was very angry with God when God chose to spare them. He said the reason he did not come to Nineveh in the first place. You know, when God first told him to go and he fled from God, he said, the reason I didn't come in the first place was because I knew that you, a God was gracious, a God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. What a picture. He knew God was a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. I don't want to go over there and preach to those enemies of mine. I want you to destroy them. I know if I go over there and preach to them, if they repent, you're a God that's merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. A gracious God. Oh, Jonah could get angry. No, when he waited there for God to destroy the Ninevites, what he was hoping for, the sun was beating down upon him, a gourd came up and the vine shaded him, and he was so rejoicing in that. But the next day a worm had eaten the vine, and Jonah was so angry, he said he was angry enough to die. He could get angry over a gourd vine dying. He could have been rejoicing if all the Ninevites had been killed. After all, they were the enemies of Israel. But the Bible tells us that God does not delight in the death of the sinner. He wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But like Jonah, sometimes we just want to get rid of certain people. And if something bothers me, as we've recently seen more than one instance on television of people rejoicing in the streets, dancing and singing and celebrating because their enemy had been killed. Oftentimes, we can know and respect individuals as Jonah did the few sailors. And at the same time, we can want to destroy a whole nation of people, or a whole group of people, forgetting that they're all, every one of them is somebody for whom Christ died. Every one of them is precious in God's sight. And God, a God of compassion, rather than seeing His people killed, wants to see them come to repentance and faith and new life. So there it is, the little book of Jonah. We find a picture of God as one who is inescapable. You can't get away from God. You find that He is the God of all people, not just a few people, not just a particular group of people, but all people. And He is a God of compassion, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. I would urge you tonight to rise up and follow Him. Yea, I would say He even calls you by name, saying, take up your cross and follow me. Father God, we do thank you for this little book of Jonah, for the great picture of you that we receive there, the inescapable one, the God of compassion, the God of all people, the one that's plenteous in mercy and eager to forgive. Help us to go from this place with a clearer vision of what you are truly like than that with which we came. And we pray in Jesus' name.